We shall continue course. We have been in this vein of a discourse for some time now, and of course we are moving very slowly. I recognize that for months we have been in the essence of the Spirit of truth, for the Spirit is the essence of truth. I move as the Holy Spirit leads me, guides me. Amen. There is no mandate to cover no specific area of the Bible.
That's right.
No volume of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
No complete sections of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We move as the Spirit moves.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't believe in going to page 2 and you don't know the contents of page 1.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my God.
Amen.
Let's turn again to our base scripture, 8th chapter, Romans.
Amen.
Verses 16, 17, and 18. And as I say, I shall labor here until the Lord tells me to move on.
Mm-hmm.
In conjunction with that, the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Our focus today be on verse 17. Now, as we survey the writings of our beloved Apostle Paul, pastor to the Gentiles.
That's right.
We see his expression of our journey. We are on a journey. We are we're in time.
Mm-hmm.
Time is a moving mechanism.
Surely.
It's not stationary or stock still.
All right,
man. It's moving. Whether you like it or not, you cannot hold back the day.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot redeem yesterday.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
And you certainly can't reach into the futuristic aspects of time and bring it in faster, nor can you slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So sufficient is the day for today.
Mm-hmm.
Except that in our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, these writings of these epistles of Paul that are given as instructions to the church, we see an eternal heavenly view of time that is from the vantage point of eternity.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Even though we are locked into the 21st day of September, the year of our Lord, 2003, according to the Roman calendar, we are yet eternally positioned out of the scope of time. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning.
Hallelujah.
Deacon, I want you to start, in, as you always do, read the 16th, 17th, 18th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
For I reckon I make an assessment. I make an evaluation. Read. That the sufferings that are going on right now
are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen. Now, let's, for the sake of time, if I start over here, I won't get where we're going today. That happens sometimes. Let's go to the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians.
Hallelujah.
Deacon, we have to do a little different this morning. Even though our focus is on the 17th verse, I want you to back up to the 5th verse. And there are a few nuggets I want to glean there and take them all down into the 17th verse.
Amen.
All right, everybody got the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, focusing on the 5th verse, said amen.
Amen.
All right. Read a read.
2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves.
See, Paul, he's always got to focus away from himself.
That's right. That's so true.
Where's the focus?
Christ Jesus.
Read it.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves servants for Jesus' sake.
Only in relationship to what God, through Christ, has done, is doing, and is going to do. That's the only way we enter into the picture. In relation to what He has done and what He is doing in our behalf.
That's right.
So it's not about us, it's all about Him.
That's right.
And if the church could ever get that understanding,
hallelujah,
we won't have all of the isms and cliques and church and many issues that arise in the church. Wouldn't it be great if everything was all about the Lord,
yes,
not about us?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We would not get into any of the infussing, the fighting, all of these things.
Great.
Well, amen. It'll be like that in glory.
Amen.
Anyway.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
The Spirit of truth. The communication aspect of the Holy Spirit has been commissioned, and it is He who has given the light. He has given illumination and understanding. Do not take it lightly if you have a glimpse into the workings of God. And when you read His word, there is the illumination and understanding of what He is doing. That's not a small thing. That is a big thing.
Yes.
That is a glorious thing. Everybody don't understand this.
That's right.
There are some who have not the capacity to understand these writings, understand the things of God. As we said earlier in one of our discourses, as we read from the Bible, The Spirit of God is the only one who knows the mind of God.
That's
just
right.
Like you, your spirit is the only entity that knows your mind.
That's right.
The Spirit of God is the only one that knows His mind.
That's right.
Then there is a connection there. God has chosen some, and those whom He has chosen, He has connected your spirit to His spirit. And this is where the communication comes. First of all, and let you know that you're a child of God.
Absolutely.
If the Spirit of God did not communicate it to your spirit, you would not know that you are children of God this morning.
Amen.
That's not a small thing. That's a great thing.
Yes.
Because if this is not communicated to the spirit of all men.
Amen.
So you are part of the sum.
Amen.
You are part of the elect.
Yes.
Oh my God. Somebody ought to just praise God this morning. He has, in his, oh my God, in his sovereignty, he has selected and called out some. And you'll find yourself this morning in that privileged category of the some,
mm-hmm.
of the elect.
Yes, yes.
All right, read.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Now, here, Paul, and I don't have time to deal with that this morning. We had exegeted this in the perfecting class. He is not talking about the Holy Spirit, as many teach. Subject here is, if you look and you use the grammar, and we don't have time this morning, he's talking about what he was talking about in the 6th verse.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the light of the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
We have this glorious knowledge.
Yes.
That's the treasure.
Surely.
In these earth vessels, he has placed this glorious knowledge of him.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody, every body, every vessel doesn't possess the understanding of this great knowledge. He has not invested this great knowledge into everyone.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Hey.
But his purpose for doing it is not for you to be glorified.
All right now.
Nah, and so knowledge shouldn't, even though it does puff it up, spiritual knowledge should not puff. True spiritual knowledge does not puff up.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. In fact, the more you learn, the more it should teach you that you don't know. Amen. God has just given us a glimpse of what he's just given us a glimpse of what he's doing.
Yes, yes.
My Lord. And that's more than our human minds are able to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But why does he do it? He has placed this knowledge in these vessels. Why?
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
That the excellency, we will come back to that Greek word in our discourse this morning. But the that's a word, my God, I'm almost tempted to deal with that now, but I won't get where I'm going. The excellency of the power, you will hear that again.
Yeah.
And it is, may be of God and not of us. Again, it's all about him and it's none about us.
Alright?
Yes.
Read.
Verse 8.
We are troubled on every side.
Now, we have dealt with the fact that service also has with it as partner suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Every servant of God has at some point in his service suffered afflictions,
yes.
trials.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I know some ministries teach this morning, trouble-free, debt-free,
mm-hmm.
worry-free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what planet they're talking about.
Amen.
Amen. As long as you're on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially if you're a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Trials, afflictions, is written in one sector, it reads that he who served God will, shall, must, from the imperative mood, suffer troubles, afflictions, and persecutions.
Yes.
So not only did Paul say that was trouble in the rear and trouble in the front, he said trouble where?
Oh, yes.
All around.
Yes.
All right, read.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Mm-hmm.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Mm-hmm.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
I like that. You see, a good deal with why Paul could say it's there, but it's it's not bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What he is saying is, I have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I have peace, not because there are no problems.
All right.
But he's saying that if you're a child of God and you understand this, you can have peace in spite of the problems, regardless of the problems.
Yes. Glory. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Read.
Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
All right. Read.
For we which live are always delivered unto death mm-hmm. for Jesus' sake,
mm-hmm.
that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Here we shall deal with these workings this morning, and see, this is what Paul, amen, Lord had revealed this to him. He had to understand, and you notice his focus, as we shall deal with in a few minutes, is not on his problems.
He sure wasn't.
His focus is on the workings of God.
Mm-hmm.
You notice, it's not inward dealing with how am I going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Five ways to get out of debt. Ten ways to do this and that. You turn on all of the religious stations today and you look at, listen to the preaching, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Telling you, giving you, amen, some panacea,
mm-hmm.
some blueprint. For getting away from this, and here our gospel is telling you that it is a constant companion.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So we must go with the word of God.
Amen.
But here our focus is not on these things to the point of the mesmerizing us.
Mm-hmm.
But our view, what we should be looking at,
yes.
is the eternal workings of God.
Yes.
What is God doing? Sometimes we pray and say, Lord, do something about this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. His whole program is about your problem.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No, not to take it away, but it is, amen, part of his plan for you.
Yes, it is.
A glorious plan.
Yes.
Read.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
So then death worketh in us, but life in you.
Oh my God, I'll come back to that at another time. That I could take that one verse and exegete it, almost textual, natural,
mm-hmm.
and actually we dwell in there an hour or so, because
yes.
here he's saying a mouthful.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on here.
Yeah.
Verse 13.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus.
Amen.
And shall present us with you.
Now, here he was referring back to, which we won't do it today, Paul was using a corroborator. As he viewed the writings of the 116th Psalms, around verse 10, and he quotes here, amen. But in verse 14, he brings it into view, amen, is saying that he who raised or delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ also raised you up. And we shall all be present together with him, more specifically in him.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, look at verse 15, that is, and read that very slowly, Brother Deacon.
Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes.
All things your sake. All things our sake. It is for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
That affliction you have, it is for your sake.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That sound right, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not according to human thinking.
Human thinking, yes.
The trust sake.
Oh, yes.
It's not for God's sake, it's for your sake.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
That the abundant grace,
here we go,
might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of
God.
Let's
keep moving.
For which cause we faint not.
So we don't fall out. You see, an understanding is the best antidote to getting through.
Yes.
If you know where you're going, you're not perplexed. If you know what's happening, you are not overcome with fear and doubt. You say, Lord, what's happening? And I know every last one of us have asked that question at some point.
Mm-hmm.
When things around us and things, amen, upon us seemingly going haywire.
Yes.
We say, Lord, what meaneth this? What is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Paul asked us again on one occasion, having an affliction.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I sought the Lord three times to deliver me. And
then
the answer came back to him, said, Lord, this, he said, Paul, don't ask me about that particular problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my grace is sufficient.
My grace.
And through your weakness,
my
strength and my glory shall be magnified.
Hallelujah.
That's what's going on.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you want to know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
read.
For which cause we faint not,
mm-hmm.
but though our outward man perish.
Now this is something that we are going to have to get down into our spirits, to our understanding.
Come on.
There is no preservation of anything concerning your physical
mm-hmm.
makeup
mm-hmm.
or nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God has not promised to preserve your physical makeup or nature.
Amen.
Everything physical mm-hmm. must change.
Yes.
Everything that is physically around you will change.
Will change. Yes, indeed.
Everything concerning you now will not be in the future. And that nothing concerning you except your salvation will be in the future. Your internal relationship with God is futuristic. Forget about everything else as far as having a future.
Thank you, Lord.
Now he talks about these bodies. And what does he say about that? Read.
But though our outward man perish,
the outward man is the king. Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Daily. Sure. I look at myself and you look at yourself.
Yes.
You looking at a head of hair that is completely white.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you knew me 30 some years ago. And it was not white. It was, believe it or not, it was once all black, wasn't it, Mother Nelson?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Preach. Mm-hmm.
When I was 18, I could run, of course I only weighed 145 pounds then, but I could run 2 or 3 miles, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I ran from here to the back of the room, I'd run profusely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What has brought about the change?
Mm-hmm.
Time. Time is moving on, and one of the characteristics of time is change.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And for those who teach you, those who preach a gospel that says you can get your healing and keep it, they need to come over into the areas of writings where these instructions to the church,
yes.
amen, are so explicit,
yes.
to tell you, amen, that the outward man is what?
Perishing.
Amen. He's on his way out.
Sure is.
good news. As he decays, what happens?
Yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Yes.
Inward man. Oh my God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
As the natural dissipates, the spiritual, amen, grows stronger. Amen. Oh my God.
Yes.
So now we have to bring into focus what is occurring in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 17, and this is what we want to focus on today. Remember, as we were reading in the 18th chapter, in the 18th verse, the 8th chapter, Paul says something about our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a statement there. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Hold this. 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Amen. I just want to focus for a second on what the apostle is basically saying. He makes an assessment. He makes an evaluation.
Yes.
And that is the present suffering, the things that you're going through, are what?
Temporary.
Read it.
Romans 8:18.
Mm-hmm.
For I reckon.
I calculate.
That the sufferings of this present time.
And our present sufferings.
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Now, the companion verse here of the 17th verse reads what? That is the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians. I hope you didn't turn away from it.
2 Corinthians 4:17.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For our light affliction,
oh my God,
which is but for a moment,
mm-hmm,
worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Oh my God. The 17th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians is a companion scripture, is basically reading and giving us the same information as it is in the 18th verse,
mm-hmm,
of the 8th chapter of Romans. So the question is, what are they talking about? What is the apostle talking about? Remember now, in the preceding verse 17, the knowledge that has been conveyed is that it is the suffering place that produces or brings about the essence of the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Amen. So,
glory.
First thing we must understand is that the suffering that we're going through, it is not in essence that which brings the glory. Otherwise, we're into a work program.
Correct.
Amen. But we're not in the works program.
No, no.
We are under grace. We're in the dispensation of grace. Amen. So we have come to understand from our prior readings that he is not conveying that we as heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ are recipients of this glory because of our suffering. It is because of his suffering. So the 18th verse basically from the Greek text, I consider that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory about to be revealed unto us. So here this is basically making a conclusional statement that that is Paul is expressing the fact that our suffering, and this fact, of course, is not a product of his own opinion.
All right.
Amen. This man had received revelation
That's right.
of truth directly from Jesus Christ.
Directly.
if you are to believe his testimony, and of course the Spirit did the writing, so I believe it.
Yeah.
Amen. But he had received this sending, which caused him to evaluate his enlightenment, caused him to know and understand that the suffering of the present time that we're going through, that it is not worthy. It's not to be compared. Here again, Paul, that the suffering, follow me now, which he was going through, and he's contemplated the glory which was about to be revealed. He says that this suffering is insignificant in comparison. In other words, if I focus on the glory, amen, I would not be overcome by the things that I am encountering. Here, he evaluates his afflictions in the comparison as being nothing. Here, he knows from the information that the Spirit of Truth has revealed to him that this glory is imminently awaiting those who are the elect of God. So what he is saying here is that he is not making light concerning these suffering, but in comparison, it is light. It is in his view that he turned it light. Now, again, as we look at the 17th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I pray that you're following here, and we're jumping around through a few verses, but follow me now. And if I need to slow down, I will. Right now, we're on the 4th chapter and the 17th verse of Corinthians. And here, it is not as some have incorrectly exegeted this verse. He is not speaking in the meritorious vein of our suffering being a sacrifice that procures this eternal weight of glory. Let's look at this verse from the Greek text. It reads, "For momentarily our light affliction is working for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." This verse actually describes the working of design and purpose which God has devised for our suffering and our afflictions. So it is this vital message of the Spirit we must have, which has seemingly been lost on the comprehensive intelligence of many of God's people. Questions that oppose from time to time. Number one, what is the purpose of our suffering? Number two, why is suffering seemingly concomitant of comforting service to God? Why do those that serve God seem to suffer? Why, number three, why does God allow those whom he obviously loved, and he does love us because he saved us and he has placed us into the body of Christ, who obviously loves us, so from eternity he has shown that. Why does he allow us to experience heartache and pain, turmoil and trauma? Why doesn't he allow us, who are so dear to him, to live free from conflict, as some preach, free from trouble? Amen. Why doesn't he free us from our bills? Why doesn't he free us from the afflictions and health problems that are in our bodies, and troubles and trials? Why isn't there the record that all of God's servants lived a free life, a life of peace, a life absent of pain and heartaches and trouble? Amen. As we consider such questions, It should be indelibly impressed in our mindsets.
Yes.
That the total forces of creation, they march both exclusively, as I said last week, and expressively to the drumbeat, God's great and glorious eternal will, purpose, and plan. Also, amen, the totality of creation entails the universe of universes. What are you talking about? All of creation includes more than just this galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And as most of us, we don't focus that far. And it entails more than just this little small planet Earth, which is what we call world. And most of us just call what's going on in our neighborhood world. We are completely oblivious to everything else that's going on in the world. Amen. So earthly existence is only a minute part of the entirety of things. As strange as it may seem to some, there is in the providence of God His definite design, which embraces every individual and every entity of creation.
Absolutely.
Accordingly, everything functions, everything that functions do so as components of a gigantic creation, all devised to accommodate the pleasure of His will. I'm going to repeat that. Everything that moves,
everything
that breathes, everything that functions,
but all
components of the gigantic creation, all devised to accommodate the pleasure and will of God.
Absolutely.
It's hard for us to fathom because some of us think that everything revolves around us. My friend, nothing revolves around you. We're so self-centered and egocentric that we think that the world revolves around us. It's not going on unless it affects me. That's not the way it is.
Yes,
Lord. Moving forward, as we, as the Lake of God, focus on the thought conveyance of the 17th verse, it's very informative. As we observe the Greek verb, and here we're going to get into a little grammar. Greek verb, katagazete, translated working. It is the only verb in that verse. So, basically, we focus on it because verbs are what? They are action words. That's where the action is going on. You want to know what's going on? You look into a sentence, you find the verb. Amen. That's where the action is. No, it is this verb, katagazete. It is in the present tense and it's in the middle voice. Here, it should become apparent through close examination of the context that God is forever in control of every operational force. Oh my God. Whether it is good or evil, God is in control, obviously, of the good, but He's also in control of the evil. From this, we perceive that all things are subjected to His purpose.
All things. Amen. Hallelujah.
We, as sons of God, positioned in Christ, facing the diverse circumstances and challenges of this life, should have as our constant attitude, Lord, not our will, but yours.
Hallelujah.
That should always be our attitude. When we pray,
always.
Amen. Some say, don't pray that prayer. You tell God what you want. Amen. And when you do that, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? If you're asking him for something and it is not his will,
oh, yeah.
it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Then you're going to say, God didn't answer my prayer, and he did. He said, no.
It's
not my will.
That's right.
So before we assess the situations of our lives as either victory or defeat, success or failure, we must evaluate through the contents of our gospel. We must evaluate it by looking at the instructions that are given in these epistles to view the validity of those things that are evident in our lives.
Yes.
As children of God, chosen to eternal salvation, mm-hmm. we have been endowed with a perfect guide.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Spirit of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a communicator. The great communicator.
Yes,
amen. I think they called Ronald Reagan that in one case, but no. The great communicator
yes.
is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The Spirit of Truth.
Yes.
That communicates to our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are His. Now there are certain that are constantly expressed to God's elect. They are, number one, and hear me. God has individual plans for our lives.
Yes, yes, yes.
It may be His will to heal you and not heal me.
Yes.
But what He has for me is for me, and what He has for you.
For you.
Yes.
You. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It was His will to give Deacon Gavin the amount of money he's got. It is His will for some of you all to be healthy, while others, mm-hmm. amen, are constant companions of pain.
Surely.
You see?
Yeah.
Huh? It is His will for some of us to have a pretty good day. And for some of us, it seems like every day is bringing about more and more problems.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, that's something that we must understand.
Mm-hmm.
God's individual plan
yes.
for each of us. Number two, are you with me this morning?
Yes.
The trials and vicissitudes of life experiences are the results of the imperfections of the pre-creation. God's eternal, that is His perfect and matured purpose, is not designed to be fully implemented or manifested in an imperfect period such as time. I'm going to repeat that. His matured and perfect purpose is not designed for these times.
Praise
Him,
amen.
Yeah,
glory.
Yeah. Trouble won't be always, but this is we're living in the present evil age.
Yeah.
Where in sin is the prince and
yeah.
the power of that.
Yeah.
And there are things that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Suffering is one of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Yes.
All of His workings, both good and evil,
oh, absolutely.
Have as their end
mm-hmm.
the combination of all things that have been devised
mm-hmm.
to give Him. That's God, ultimate purpose of praise and glory.
Absolutely.
It is to this end that all the actions and occurrences
yes.
are progressing. God is
yes.
working everything to His glory.
Yes.
In the end, oh my God, don't you want God to be glorified?
Yes.
Amen. Woo! And Paul said, if my suffering will, amen, it will add to it, and God, and it so pleased God that my suffering will be to His praise and glory. Paul said, let me suffer.
Yes.
One time they were trying to stop Paul going into Jerusalem.
Yes.
He said, Paul, with trouble and afflictions, as someone had prophesied, said, awaits you.
Yes.
And he said, not only am I willing to suffer for Him, I'm willing to die for Him.
Yes. What he said.
Understood.
Yes. Good. Yes.
It is such glorious knowledge
yes.
that brings about
mm-hmm.
such thinking. Give me 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Call me those who are risen in Christ, our emotions, aspirations, and afflictions must always be centered on things eternal, or things heavenly. Colossians 3:1-2 says,
right.
Set your affection on things above. If you be risen in Christ, not on earth. I think some of these fellows they don't read that part.
Yeah.
They don't talk about that part. Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Glory to God.
Your focus, the key one is priority.
Yeah.
All
right.
Amen.
Hey.
I'll deal with that another time. Now, as the apostle surveys the occurrences of his course in life, his focus is not so much on what is happening to him as much as what are the workings or development of his experiences. In other words, his concentration is exemplified by the present tense and indicative mood of the Greek word katagazo. Translated workings is in the present tense. And it's a fact. God is working. So his concentration on what God is accomplishing. What is this work about? What is God producing? What is God bringing about? What is God working out? What is God doing? You see? Amen. In essence, Paul's knowledge of the revelation of the mystery, that is, the revealed truth of God's eternal workings, position him with the unique view of the full spectrum of his existence, whereby he could occupy in the period of time, yet also dwell in the complete workings of God in the past and the future.
Yes.
Thus his views were always on the tall stratum of eternity past, time, and eternity future.
Glory.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This can be best termed, described as the eternal now. I think I said that last week. Repeat the eternal now.
The eternal now.
What is the eternal now? It is that which can be defined as the current view of time from the vantage point of eternity. In other words, you are viewing time from eternity, not time from time.
Okay.
When you view time from time, you don't get a nice picture at all.
No.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, as we consider the contents, the writings of the entire epistle of 2 Corinthians, we know that this Greek word, katagazo, is found 7 times. It is in the 5th verse of the 5th chapter. It is in the 10th and 11th verse of the 7th chapter. It is in the 11th verse of the 9th chapter and the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. So 7 times this Greek verb is used. Workings. Paul
yes,
said,
yes.
God is working.
Glory to God.
Amen. Do you ever think about it? God is working.
Yes.
Say, Lord, where are you? Like he's gone on a vacation.
Oh, no.
Amen. Oh, my Lord. Oh, if we could ever understand.
Glory.
I know they sing the song. It didn't come when you want it, but it's right on time. Amen. God, amen, is continually working when the thing is not coming out like you want it or you think it should be. God is still working it.
Amen.
He may not be working it to the pleasure of your will.
All right.
But it's not about your will. It's all about him. Thus the question is, give me another 5 minutes. What is God working out? Or what is God producing with our earthly afflictions? Here the answer is found. I know I won't get through this today. In that verse, 17th verse, and I touched on this 2 weeks ago and I said I'd come back, so I'm back. The Greek phrase, kat hypovolein is. Hypovolein. Kat hypovolein is hypovolein. This Greek phrase may be rendered more and more a sin. This denouement, big word, no it's not, this description of the outcome is utilized in an attempt to give terminology to the glorious accomplishment of what God is producing, which Paul, in almost exhaustive Greek language, in his crescendo of superlatives.
Glory.
All right.
The posture here labels to accurately portray this glory, as there could not be found a more energetic expression than what he had written, what is conveyed here. Kaf epiphalene is epiphalene. Note the Greek noun epivoli. It is a transliteration, and we get our word in English hyperbole. Some of us maybe don't even understand what that means. Hyperbole literally denotes a casting of throwing beyond, reaching beyond the limits. You know that verse that we dealt with earlier, that I didn't stop deal with the seventh verse of the fourth chapter. Look at it. I'm sure you're still on the page. I'm sure nobody's closed your Bible. In that seventh verse, that expression, the excellency of his power, that's that Greek, same Greek word. Amen. In other words, you can't describe God's power. You can take a stab at it. But it's beyond what you can express.
Glory.
So here, hyperbole, excess, excellence, eminence, in the expression, the excellency, that is, as it expressed in the King James, in the Greek, it says the exceeding greatness of his power.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Exceeding glory.
Now, we have the expression, kat epivolin, is epivolin. And if you took just the first part of that phrase, kat epivolin, if you took it along, it alone would mean exceedingly, a super eminently. And it is used in Romans chapter 7, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. By the tape, I will be passing this out in writing in a couple of weeks. But had this phrase been used by itself, just caught up a balloon, it would express an intensity of high degree. But the Spirit of Truth deemed that it was not enough. It was not sufficient to express the weight of the sense of the glory, which is the inheritance of God's elect. Wasn't sufficient. Alone, come ever believe, was not enough for Paul to use as the highest ordinary expression of his superlative to note the connotation of such value. Therefore, the added phrase is epibolin is conjoined to enhance the expression. So the results of God's workings are not merely imminent, but it is imminent unto imminence, or access unto access. In other words, as I close, it is a hyperbole unto hyperbole, a one hyperbole heaped upon another. Thus, as best it can be expressed, it is exceedingly exceeding glorious, or exceedingly glorious, is glorious in the highest possible degree.
Glory.
This form of expression is the highest possible superlative. And yet, it is not sufficient. As all human language, superlatives, fail in expressing the eternal glory which is reserved for the elect.
Thank God.
I end with this statement today.
Thank God.
Hear what Paul states is that the eternal glory which God is working for us, His beloved, it is infinite and it is boundless. One may seek to ascertain its quantity by expressing one degree to another, or one sublime height to another, but the only quantitative expression that is possible in human terms is the term we use, infinity, of that which is beyond human comprehension. You know, infinity, those of us that take a certain of mathematical courses, some formulas go into infinity. In other words, the answer, the conclusion is not within reach. It just goes on. In other words, if you divide, you divide 10 by 3, it would be 3.3333333333. There's not enough space on the earth to put the threes. That's how the glory of God is. Oh my God. I'm going to get happy here a second. Let me finish this up. Oh my God. Accordingly, nothing can describe the utmost height of that glory, because nothing in the realm of our human capabilities can express this infinity. And so God, is working towards something so glorious until, regardless of what we're going through, our greatest focal point, our greatest view should not be upon what we're doing, but what God has taken us to. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.